Hello, Spacers. I'm Christopher Schmidt, and I'm talking with freelance web designer and podcaster Chris Enns. In addition to his freelance work, Chris runs goodstuff.fm, which Not Breaking Space is a part of. And ever since I've known Chris, he's been into podcasting. Even this show, Not Breaking Space, Chris has been with it since day one. Sort of like a silent co-host we, of course, never hear from, which I know is weird. So this week I decided to pull him from behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, spoilers, and catch up with him and talk about his love of podcasting. Our sponsor is FluentConf. Put JavaScript, HTML5, CSS, and the latest web tools to work. The O'Reilly Fluent Conference, happening March 7th through 10th in San Francisco, encompasses every major emerging web technology and tool of the web stack. Stay on top of the latest technologies, see how all the pieces fit together, and learn how to easily compare tools and frameworks so you can choose the best one for the job. Listeners, use code NBSP when you register and save 20% off at fluentconf.com. Some notes on what I'll be doing is I'll be at CSS DevConf 2016, the Alamo, in San Antonio, Texas, this October. Tickets are on sale at cssdevconf.com. Early bird, the earliest for tickets, which is like the cheapest rate going, are still available as I say this to you right now. So check them out at cssdevconf.com and follow for news and updates at cssdevconf on Twitter. The granddaddy Responsive Web Design Conference is back. The virtual Responsive Web Design Summit is 3 days of performance, responsive design, and techniques talks. Learn more and register at rwdsummit.com. Also be sure to follow me on Twitter at Telejct, T-E-L-E-J-E-C-T, where I try to be witty in spite of my typos. As always, thank you for subscribing and telling others about Non-Breaking Space Show on iTunes. If you want to be chill about it, you can also have the show sent to your email box by signing up at newsletter.nonbreakingspace.tv. Find notes and links at nonbreakingspace.tv. Now, the tribe has spoken. Oops, wrong thing. Now, on with the show. So yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, cool. So Chris.
Yes, Chris.
We always ask this, how'd you get into the web? You know the rundown. You know,
I've heard the show.
You've heard the show before. Yeah, this is the first time you've been on the show since the beginning.
Yeah, so, back in the Dave days.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, of course. He's moving on to greener pastures. So he's on the podcast.
One of us will move on to greater pastures, and then there'll just be one Chris left.
I don't have time for those little people, those podcast empires.
How did I get onto the web? I think I got into the web back doing, like, originally it was like the dial-up internet days of friends having some sort of like telnet connection or something. That was like my introduction to the fact that there was a thing out there. Mm-hmm. But probably my first real foray into web stuff is GeoCities and related attempts at building websites and things that no longer have stood up. As you've discussed previous episodes, I unfortunately don't have a copy on a CD-ROM somewhere. If anything, it might be on like a 5 1/4 inch floppy drive or something.
Oh, wow.
it was really worth keeping.
What did you build on GeoCities?
Oh, I had a very short-lived like one episode or one issue magazine of some sorts that I was going to do with friends. As we've now discovered, doing things on the web, it's really easy to start many, many, many projects.
Right.
And so my first foray into doing things on the web was some sort of magazine with friends that we were going to write and do and be hilarious and get popular. And I think it was actually called like Population or something. We thought that would be so clever because, like, you know, there's people and this is population. But needless to say, it didn't get past episode. I don't even think we got issue one, if you want to call it that, out the door. We spent most of our time trying to design the homepage animated GIFs and whatever. And that's where it stopped. So,
well, there you go.
Under construction GIF floating somewhere in space.
Oh, man. These are the bomb. Under construction GIFs. Oh, jeez. So the publication Population.
Yeah.
Made the issue. this is the most readership it's had right now.
Yeah.
So what happened after the population?
Well, that there's a few hazy years there where, you know, I spent more time playing Police Quest or Command and Conquer or Warcraft or Doom or whatever the case was, the game at the time was. Later on, I got a job at a computer store for a while, selling computers and stuff. And so there's a bit of like web stuff related to that, and sort of the online stores coming, and you know, rumors of like what's going to happen when Hewlett Packard tries to sell directly and skips us middlemen, so to speak, and women salespeople in the retail brick and mortar stores, and when Apple kind of launched its first attempts at an online store, and we laughed it off at the time. And then moved eventually to the university, local university here where I worked, selling, basically was sort of the Apple guy there, and also helped run their website. And that was sort of my introduction to, aside from what I'd been doing personally, tinkering around and stuff, that was kind of my introduction to doing actual building websites, working on the web, in a proper way, I guess, and using Dreamweaver 3 or 4, whatever it was. And everybody, about 5 or 6, 7, 8 people, all just manually FTPing files, you know, at their leisure into a website.
Exactly.
Zero chance of any sort of issues with that setup.
Yeah.
You know, who needs GitHub and version control when you've got Dreamweaver?
Well, that's how you did it back then. I mean, like, don't even like throw those people underneath the bus, man. Like,
no, yeah, there wasn't. Yeah. It's not like we knew anything better. There wasn't denial of. It just makes me like almost sort of throw up in my mouth now thinking about it, how bad it is. Version control was saving the file and then putting a -01 after it.
Right.
And then, you know, uploading it again when you've made your changes, and hopefully you remember what that 01 meant 2 months later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, of course, because documentation, everyone wrote documentation back in the old days, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
It was carefully commented. This price was updated because of,
All right.
But yeah, that's, and then eventually out of that, I learned more about building websites proper and started doing it for friends and stuff on the side, and then eventually quit and went to work for someone else for a year doing website design and stuff, and then started my own little thing, little lemon-inspired website building company for local businesses here.
Okay.
And so that's where I sit today.
So it's actually Lemon Productions, is that right?
Or is it, is, yeah.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Cool. And that's based on the YouTube song Lemon.
It is, it's originally I had visions of doing more media, like video related stuff, which is kind of funny now that I'm sort of circling back around through podcasting and, you know, media that way. But originally I was going to do more video, and web stuff was kind of secondary. And I discovered how much money you needed to actually start into video. And so then I thought building websites is a little cheaper to start with, less loans involved from the bank.
Right.
So that's why, but yeah. U2 inspired fellow, as you know, but for the listeners anyways, you and I are fellow U2 fans.
Yes.
Having our own short-lived U2 podcast at one point in history.
Yeah, which I always say, we had podcasts where we both agreed we liked U2. And then all right. Like, well, there's like no differences really between us. Like, we're like, oh, well, we like U2. Whereas now you have a U2 podcast on your, we'll talk about U2 in a second. Let me just put a pin in that one for now. We'll come back to it. Yeah.
U2 put a atomic podcast. Bomb in that one.
Yeah, so anyway, I want to go back to your name, Lemon, because I've always asked this, because, like, I'm not sure if it's an American thing or whatnot, but, like, the idea of buying a lemon is, like, not a good thing. And so I always wondered why you named your company Lemon Productions, because it's, like, doesn't have great quality. I mean, as a YouTube fan, I appreciate it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going for, in the population where I live, 200 and some thousand people in the city I live in, Saskatoon, I was going for, I just want to reach the U2 fans in this community.
Very niche.
Yeah,
very
exactly. Niche. I only want to help those people get on the web.
Okay.
No, it is kind of a bit of that like ironic wink, wink, you know, lemon. Yeah. And hopefully it's something that catches their eye or ear or whatever, and makes it memorable more so than, because lemons here too with cars or whatever is still a thing. So it's not a good connotation that way. So, but sometimes we're too clever for our own good when we're.
Oh man. Trust me. Well, yeah, I was talking to Zelma in the previous episode about naming stuff, and then I still, like, fall in the trap of naming stuff that's terrible. Like, our conference was In Control, which was, like, a great name on paper, but then you put it into a Google search, and it's just, like, it's just, like, the worst thing ever. So it's, what's the other thing we named? I named something else, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then you put in the Google search, and I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? So,
yeah.
But I dislike those two abstract names because it just doesn't really mean much anything. I always like to name something what it is. And then,
the trouble these days is now we're having to say things way more out loud, you know, like on podcasts or whatever. And so our video, even YouTube and stuff as you're doing. And so often things you thought were cool on print or on the web, even just naming things. And now you have to actually say it out loud. And that's what I often come up with against with people who I'm doing podcasts with is like, how do you actually say that thing? Cause it looks cool on your logo and whatever.
Right.
Of course, yeah. I don't have a thing in front of me that an example, but yeah.
Yeah. I totally get the, yeah. I get you. So yeah. Like, there's a company called And Yet. I think they're a JavaScript company or developer app company. Sorry, apologies. But it looks cool. The letter form looks cool because it's the ampersand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I was like, like, what do I say? How do I say it? You know, is it ampersand yet? I don't really know. But yeah,
exactly.
So, but yeah. But yeah, so like not bringing space shows. You know, it's like a great thing. Like,
yeah.
It's like not bringing space. Page 2 on Google search results. So,
yeah.
As always will be. So, but yeah, okay. So how did you get into, so you've been doing Lemon for how long?
Oh, 5 or 6 years, at least on my own fire, 5 or 6 years, 5 years now, I think. And so.
On your own? Like, yeah. You had a partner before? Or?
No, before I used to work for somebody else doing, for website building for them. And then, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Cool. So how is it being on your own?
Well, it's the, you know, sort of the feast famine of running your own business and learning how to deal with such feasts and such famines as you come across. And then I think I've had office space at times, and now I'm working out of the home and just, you know, doing the Starbucks thing and or, you know, on site with clients and stuff. Yeah. And kind of that, like, I'm an introvert. And so at times it's great, but then at times you're like, oh, I kind of introvert to a point. And then I'm like, crap, I need to see some people, but I don't want to, it's not like I can go call up a client and be like, hey, do you want to just hang out? You don't have to pay me or whatever, but, no, it's been good. And the, I think things like, finding communities online with, whether it's in various interests, podcasting and things like that, that I find interests, shared interest with other people in, something like obviously that Slack, like everybody's very familiar with, has helped as far as, just sort of having people you touch base with each day, even just to like, hey, we're all still alive, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's been fun and keeps things interesting.
Right. Yeah, I think. And then, so when did you start getting into podcasts?
I got into podcasts. I mean, listening to them a long time ago, obviously, like, Leo Laporte and Twit and things like that was sort of my introduction to the whole idea of it. But I started doing podcasts and things like that, shortly. Where was it? Well, the first person, this is the story I tell anyways, is I convinced my wife to do, not a short-lived, I think we did it for one whole season, a podcast about the television show Survivor. And it wasn't so much, like, I enjoy the show. I'm not like an insane, crazy fan, although I guess by doing a podcast about it, you're kind of admitting to something. But, yeah, doing a podcast about Survivor just to have the excuse to try out the mechanics of how you would record a podcast. Because at the time, 2008, something like that, you know, it definitely was not the most common thing in the world. Yeah, it was great practice sort of doing that and you know, you're learning how to put up a website, learning how to submit it to iTunes, all that kind of stuff. And then that was, yeah, sort of, actually, sorry, that was 2010, I think, is when that started. But anyways, yeah, I got into it that way and really fell in love with the idea of, despite the tremendous fear I had of putting my voice out on the internet in some form.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, listening to yourself talk about, well, in that case, Survivor, but anything really, you feel like an idiot a bit. And so getting over that fear and the rest is history. I don't know if I'm just skip over the last 6 years.
Well, like it's amazing because like you talking about Survivor, like with your wife or, you know, talking about Survivor, it is now like a phenomenon, like reaction to TV shows is a phenomenon. Like, just like Talking Dead with, you know, and then, you know, Talking Dead and, you know, the whole like thing. That's actually a thing that there's actually many production. I'm not going to say mini production, like not well, big budget production, but they're small like YouTube productions where they just have shows and small venues. Like I'm assuming in LA, you know, like small studio space or whatever, someone's basement or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Where they get like good looking actors to, you know, be on there. Like, I'm sorry, good looking actors, but it's like, you know, just people who want to. Yeah, sorry, except for me, but except for us, you know, just like you just sit on the couch and talk about how awesome the TV show was just 2 seconds ago, and so yeah, I find it really fascinating that there's subculture just about reactions and people trying to glom onto the entertainment industry that way. So it's like, and now around 2010, I don't think definitely isn't not as big as it used to be.
No, like I mean you. There was, I think at the time, an official Survivor podcast or some sort of Survivor video show probably or something afterwards. But definitely, like, I sometimes think, like, if we had just kept it up, because, I mean, Survivor, you know, has obviously kept going. It's just started up again this week.
Yeah.
You know, if we'd kept it up, the age-old thing of on the web, like, where would we be now? And would it be popular even, you know, because at the time it was just the two of us talking and we didn't really know what we were doing. And obviously that was okay at that time. And now you sort of have to up your game a bit and in production and whatever. But and now, I mean, they're competing to start now. You're competing with shows that have like former Survivor contestants as the hosts of the show who are trying to like keep the momentum going for themselves as a career or whatever. And so, I don't know. Who knows if it would be as possible. It'd be fun still. Like, it's something my wife and I actually talk about doing. We like Survivor and Amazing Race are the two sort of reality shows that we enjoy.
Yeah.
And they both sort of start and end around the same time. So it's kind of like, could be this short run series of a podcast we could do, but as you might be able to hear, my kid is shouting at me through the window of my office. All right. So kids are always a fun factor in trying to record podcasts as a married couple.
Yeah. I'm waiting for our dog to show up. Yeah, so it's pretty nice. Like, we had that. You edited it out, speaking of like distractions, but you edited it out. But like, talking to Zellman and our Maisie ran up and like got out into the front yard, and we had to go stop recording of the show. And so, because we did a, I still wish we could do it, but it's just our schedules just don't allow it. I'm a big Flash fan, so we did a show like talking after the Flash, and that was just fun. I just but we recorded it mostly for YouTube and just did put out there for YouTube and so we had like a bit of a following, but it wasn't that many viewers. So
it's funny how like I know I sort of helped you with a bit of the setup and stuff, and so looking at some of the stats, like randomly a show will just get like 200 views, and the next one has 20, and you're like, well. What did we do?
Yeah, what did we do differently?
200 people, is it because that episode was so entertaining? And that's even that Survivor Show podcast I do, I still have it archived and it's served up in iTunes or whatever. And I can see stats, and randomly an episode will get downloaded 10 times. And it's like, from a show 6 years ago, someone, more than one person potentially, is like listening to this old episode thinking, I wonder what Chris's thoughts were on Survivor.
Like, I wonder what he thought about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, in Survivor, it was like... was it, how old is that show? Is pretty old now, but I remember season one, season two was how old it. Man, that show was like white hot. Like you could not hear about it or whatever. So, I remember, and then the second season, I remember, just the whole survivors, the kind of, like the speeches that they give at the end of the show when they kick someone off,
right?
Just total brutal takedowns, you know, and now it's kind of like, you know. Pretty common, but Survivor shows like reality. Like, we can totally digress to reality TV show now. But yeah, I can't watch reality TV shows now until like the last 4 or 5 episodes, because that's when things get really good.
Yeah,
and then like, because you know, I used to watch So You're Thinking of Dance, and it's like there's like 20 people, and they're all, you know, they have the pre-show, is like where they weed out people. You know, the whole thing, like they weed out people, and then you get to the actual show, you have 20 top people.
Yeah.
And then but even then the 20 top people are like, you can like list off the first 10 people that aren't going to make it to the top 10. And it was like, so we get to the top 10, like, oh, okay, now we're getting some really good, good things. But then there's like every once in a while where there's a good dance routine. You're like, oh yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what we noticed, even on this, the most recent season of Survivor that just started Wednesday is they didn't even bother. Usually they introduce all the cast sort of as the introduction to the series or whatever.
They just straight up kill them.
Yeah. It's like five people just died on the way here. You won't even bother knowing their name. Here's the cast that made it. And this person's actually just died. So
this person's got wing room. This person over here.
They're billing it as like the most dangerous season yet. And like on the first episode, some lady, one of the contestants had like a tiny little bug that crawled in her ear, which has never happened before as far as they did show it anyways. It was like burrowing in her ear and her ear was bleeding for half the episode. It was like,
oh, wow.
Actually, it popped out and it was just this tiny little. So maybe it is going to be a really sketchy, scary, dangerous Survivor.
Oh, wow. It's all people who've done it before, right?
No, not this one. This one's is all like brand new. They're doing the whole like brains versus brawn versus beauty.
Oh, I thought it was like All-Star recap. They bring people who are
back and they have been doing that. This time they didn't. But there's kind of a funny, like, you know, the beauty tribe, let's say. Not that this is the Survivor podcast, but
we're doing our own talking at the show podcast.
Tune in next week for our Survivor podcast.
Yeah.
But on the beauty tribe, there's like, you know, beauty is a bit subjective. And so you're like, why is that guy on the beauty tribe? Right. Or why is this person on the brains tribe when they don't really seem that smart and whatever? And so we'll see where it goes. But anyways, I digress.
Okay. It's all right. Yeah, we can talk about TV shows forever. But yeah, so it's like just kind of cool. So you can do a podcast about entertainment shows, obviously. We can talk about, you know, it's easy to talk about TV shows we've seen. And one of the reasons I like about it is just because there's a shared... You know, not so much now, but you know, there's a shared experience with watching TV shows that we as a society, we don't get as much. You know, like, you know, I think I made this point before. It's like, you know, people made it like Walter Cronkite. You watch the news because that's how people got their news. And now everyone's having their own edited, tailored, you know, not yet tailored or edited, but just they go to the websites where they trust the news more than other people. So they go to their own like political affiliation for news rather than go to a central source for news. So it's kind of like people just aren't having a shared unique experience. So that's why I think it's like sports and you know, is a good thing for that too. So let's go circle back to podcasts. And so you start out with podcasts as in terms of podcasts as of you getting involved with them. So you've been involved with podcasts for a long time, pretty much I've known you. And it seems like it's, do you think it's matured or it hit the mainstream around the time Serial happened, or was it before then? Or was it like,
well, it's kind of like, you know, how like there's like, and the same thing happens in our mutual interest in like web design world or whatever too, where like there's sort of waves of popularity in it, different services or apps or whatever and things. And so like with podcasting, it definitely has had a wave of, I forget what it would have been in 2012, 2013, but it was kind of like tech podcasts were kind of like a big thing. And you had people like 5x5, Dan Benjamin stuff and Twit and, you know, Twit raising all this money to build a new studio and stuff was big, you know, front page news in certain magazines and stuff or whatever. And then it kind of falls away because there isn't like enough critical mass for, you know, real money for just anybody to have a podcast or whatever, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. And then now it's kind of this second or third, I don't know what wave we'd be on, but of popularity for podcasting with things like Serial and et cetera and Gimlet Media and their whole thing with startup podcasts and stuff. And and people, I think it's kind of like whenever big money kind of gets flashed around in a medium, it kind of just raises everybody's awareness of like, oh, maybe I could do something over there. And it certainly has like spread, you know, like crazy this time, but even still, who was I just talking with and where was it? But it was just like a research thing where like still 1 in 10 people still hadn't heard of Serial. Was that you that I was talking with? Maybe anyways. So it's not like as much as it's widespread. It still is like there's a ton of people who still have no idea how to, like my parents have no clue how to use a podcast or even listen to anything I've produced ever, I think, unless I've sent them a link to it directly. I think my first review is from my mom who's like, I tried listening, but I fell asleep. So it's like, I think that's good. Maybe if my voice is comforting to my mom, at least, I don't know. But yeah, I think in podcast, I'm no like podcasting pundit as far as that goes. And I had my own little successes and failures and stuff. But I think as a medium, anyways, it feels like it's a bit of like the golden age where there's a lot of people, a lot more people listening, but it still feels like it's kind of just, there's a lot yet to come, I guess. And so, I'm thinking there probably is going to be a dip here where, you know, we'll weed out some of the people who've tried, you know, I'm sure there's people who've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in setting up podcast stuff. You know, like not necessarily NPR level, but somebody slightly less than that or whatever. And it doesn't produce the listenership and the sponsorship that they were thinking it was going to.
Right.
And then they'll all die away and people will keep going who really want to keep doing this. And
right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's, I found like the YouTube, phenomenon for me is when I'm like the YouTube generation, it's sort of like their podcasting where YouTube has the camera, has all built in, and they can, just generate stuff. And video and content, yeah. You know, whether it's good or great or whatever. And they have their own channel, they have their own voice. And, you see that a lot with like, the YouTubers, the popular YouTubers and stuff like that. They, you know, they're more popular than, you know, TV stars, some of them. Yeah. So, and, but Google like owns the whole process. All you need is the hardware, and the hardware could be your smartphone or a third party phone. And so very basic, equipment, whereas podcasting, you know, it does take, you know, there's no central, you know, device for podcasting, right? Like if you want to do a good job of editing, you know, how many pieces of software and hardware are you using to edit a piece of a podcast?
No, exactly. And that's a friend of mine. She's a fellow podcaster. I think actually maybe in Austin she is _LindsayP. She goes Lindsay Patterson on Twitter, but, that's her big beef too. And we've gone back and forth and talked about it. She's written some articles and stuff that I can link to in the show notes later or whatever. But, you know, just on that idea of like, was, you know, SoundCloud is kind of like the closest thing we'd have to like a quick, easy podcast host. But even them, they don't have near the penetration and the spread and awareness that YouTube would be like.
Right.
And even the fact that like, at Good Stuff, some of us have started playing Minecraft together, right? And so some of us will stream it out on Twitch, which then that's free to do. And then you can upload that to YouTube, you know, automatically. And that's free to do. So I've got, what did I say? Like 5 hours of Minecraft footage of me just staring at my screen playing Minecraft, HD footage, free upload to YouTube, no problem, right?
Right.
But my little 5-minute solo podcast, I have to pay for a host somewhere to host this 20 megabyte, you know, MP3 file or whatever.
Right.
And it feels so backwards. Like, and I know like, you don't have to email me. I'm well aware of lots of different hosts that are out there.
Like Chris, have you heard about this?
Yeah. But, visit feed.press. It is kind of still feels backwards. Like why can the video folks get away with this for free? And us audio nerds are having to like scrounge and save and, you know, scrap our way to just get our stuff out there. And certainly the process of like just getting it to iTunes and, you know, them being sort of this gatekeeper, but they're not like a helpful gatekeeper
right.
in the way that YouTube would be. YouTube is like, oh, your video, it's a little shaky. It's a little color. Do you want us to fix it for you? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, obviously they have a vested interest in making some money off your video. Whereas Apple and iTunes is kind of like, yeah, it's there. And there is people who are very helpful at Apple. Hi, Steve, if you happen to watch, but the whole process is definitely like, we're selling iPhones and this is like one aspect of the way that, you know, we hope to encourage people to listen and use our devices. So we're not like making a marketplace. We don't want to do that. We don't want to make ads and stuff. And so we're left to third parties trying to like find a way to do this outside of that. And it just always feels like, it's a secondary, third or whatever kind of marketplace that when everybody really knows iTunes and stuff is sort of the where it's at. So
yeah, like a stepchild, unwanted stepchild. So.
Yeah. So that's my soapbox. So
But like, was it this week that, you know, with the other good stuff, you know, we're on the Good Stuff Network and, Google Play is actually going to be coming out with its own podcast directory. Is that right? Or
yeah, though they have it out apparently in the States and now it's maybe worldwide. And so you can, that'll be a new, potentially something new. I think I would hope that maybe puts a little bit of a fear of like for Apple where they could see like if Google owns a lot of the same podcasting space that they do with video, potentially they could, you know, and there'll be people like podcast purists or whatever you want to call it, who don't want to put their trust in Google with this because, you know, they'll sell ads at the beginning and the middle, like right now in 5 years, somebody will be listening to this and the podcast ad will appear right now.
Go buy McDonald's. There we go. Their tasty future McNuggets are awesome.
But,
taste their new future sauce.
Exactly.
Frog sauce. It's amazing. I mean, I don't understand. So there you go. Thank you.
Triggered.
I don't understand. Apparently, I said Siri sauce at some point, I guess.
Siri is wondering what you're talking about.
I can't get your frog sauce. Is there something else I can help you with? No, Siri, I'm fine.
But yeah, I think there is interesting things that, as long, I feel like the more people that are in this space is good. But I hope it does sort of settle down in the same way. Like with YouTube, there's always going to be other places to put video. You can go to Stia or Vimeo or, you know, third party other companies that try and get in that space. But there's at least one sort of acknowledged, if you want to go find a video of Jimmy Fallon, Kelk or whatever, you can go to YouTube and you know you'll find it, kind of thing. So
I mean there's YouTube, but there's also like really great social media thing. I think I actually learned this in podcasting camp back in like 5 years ago. I actually went to a podcasting camp in Ohio, which was weird. It was a weird experience for me, but it was just like, hey, if you have video, just put it everywhere, like Vimeo, anywhere, Daily Motion, just put it anywhere. So just for search engine ranking like that. So that's a pretty good thing. But yeah, I mean, YouTube is like number two search engine, you know, apparently, or the number one for video. So I just feel like just park it there, see what happens. So that's one of the reasons why I record a lot of the shows that for Not Breaking Space at YouTube. It just, you know, I just feel like it's, you know, it'd be interesting just to record the studio space and hang out and whatever, and just record it and see what happens. And so, I think that's
A lot of the, like we were saying, a lot of the other services that are out there that do this kind of thing, whether it's like, say, Twitch with the video streaming, or Blab is another, like, you know, conferencing thing, they all tie and say, but you can always upload your video to YouTube. Like, that's sort of acknowledged as the, you're going to end up doing it anyway, so let's just save you a step kind of thing.
Right. I mean, Twitch, like, you know, it's a gaming thing, but that was actually what, Justin.tv before it discovered gaming, and they said, like, oh, wait, people are seriously into watching other people game. And so they dropped what they were doing, and which is sad, because I actually had a Justin.tv account.
Me too.
And it's back in the day. But, and I have a Twitch account, I believe. But, you know, I'm not a big gamer, so I don't know. But
Twitch is fascinating as a platform. Like, that's, to me, it's interesting. Just, and I played around with it a bit, like I was saying with the Minecraft thing, but even streaming out some of the podcasts, whether to YouTube or to Twitch, there's free software. If anybody ever wants to mess around with, you can use called OBS. Open Broadcast Standard, I think. I'll put a link in the show notes, or Chris will, or whatever. But, and it's like, it's crazy. Again, it's one of those things where, like, you kids don't know how good you have it these days. Because, like, just to do, for my little computer here, we can stream HD video out to, you know, either Twitch or YouTube directly with, like, maybe a 5-second delay. And that just happens. That's just accepted that that's normal now. And so it's just kind of fun to play with it. I love that idea of, like, being able to stream what you're doing to the web, obviously to interested parties, not just to anybody, but, and even the gaming thing is kind of fun. Just, we've done it a little bit, and you get the odd person watching, and it's not like we're doing it for money or profit or whatever. We're playing the game anyways, but, it's just kind of fun to see how that platform is developing and the kind of stuff that's going on there. It's the amount of, again, money involved in some of that stuff, esports and stuff, is crazy. And the audiences are huge. Like, I saw a guy tweet Hearthstone, like the sort of Warcraft card trading game that you play, has tournaments this weekend. Somebody is probably like knocking their head against the window. Like, why doesn't he know what he's talking about? But anyways, and there's like tournaments in like the LA, you know, some big stadium in LA or whatever, where people are just watching people play a video game, right? And that's not crazy anymore. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy to us from back in the day or whatever, and it would sound ludicrous to my parents maybe, but it's just like accepted and normal now. And so,
Well, I mean, there's like parties at movie theaters, right? Where you get together and people either watch a LAN party, like at a movie theater, where people just like play games, and they either watch a gaming competition elsewhere, or they play against each other.
Yeah.
And I think, which is totally awesome. Cause like that's, movie theater is totally geared for that. Right. So you have a big screen. They're all showing digital movies now, so they don't have to show big reels of, film celluloids. They're all ready for digital. They probably have a good fast internet connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, they have butter popcorn and nachos, you know, so they're ready to sell you food the way you sit there. So unlike a, you know, Starbucks. So.
That'll be the next thing when Starbucks gets into online gaming somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd be like artisanal gaming, though, right? It'd be like, would you like your Pong? Yeah, I would love to play some Pong right about now. That'd be great. This Pac-Man, like, oh, my God.
No Dota allowed.
Just can you keep it quiet while you're Miss Pac-Man? Like, oh, sure. I'm trying to web design over here. Oh, man. So, but you're now in charge of, or I guess you're, I assume you're in charge of, I hope not, the good stuff platform, the media empire.
Yeah.
That is good stuff. So, how is
crumbling?
Crumbling. I didn't say crumbling. Oh, I'm still here. So you run a network of podcasts. So how is, which is, you know, I find very fascinating, but I appreciate that Numbering Spaces here. Trust me. Because I have no idea where I go. So how is that, you know, like just running? Because you have other people, other shows that, you know, are you in charge of their, you're not in charge of their editorial content. You're not in charge of their how many times they produce a show, you know, and are you just like, you know, how is it like doing that?
Well, it's kind of like back in the, again, like to whatever age old, you know, 5 years ago in the Internet Times or whatever, back in those days, that was kind of like the, you could do a podcast on your own, but it was really cool to have it be a part of a, like a bigger thing, a network, you know, again, like going back to the Twit thing or whatever and like, wow, that would be amazing. And like, they just look like they're having so much fun. And that's, to me, is always the part of it is like, as much as I love the idea of doing podcasts myself, it's also the community that, in that case, Leo Laporte and others who've since come past it or come from that or whatever have built around this thing. And it was, something that I always aspired to want to do and build and be a part of. And that's sort of where, originally it was called sskTN.com, which is like just my city's name without vowels, which was, you know, very web 2.0
of me. Well, that's a lot of vowels though, man. You omitted a lot of vowels
before. And again, that's one of those things where it was clever to, register the domain, but much more difficult to just like roll off your tongue when you're saying it. Yeah. So some guys and I, Adam and Tim and I started Good Stuff a few years ago, and Adam and Tim have since gone on to different things, better things, some Apple-y things. Now myself and Kyle Roderick kind of gives me help running this thing. And it's not a, I would say it's like a not-for-profit because it doesn't make a profit, but we're not a, it's not for altruistic reasons or whatever. There's a bunch of shows, Three Guys, Three Questions, I Guess We're Grownups Now. The Morning Show is a fun show with Kyle and Kenny that they do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Non-Breaking Space, the YouTube podcast. And so it's a fun place. It's sort of an excuse to get together with other podcast nerds and put out shows, and there's a bit of like guidance, you know, like you and I have chatted about like, hey, what if you'd had this mic or what if you did this? And you know, there's kind of that community aspect to it, but it's not like, until such time as we can either afford to, or we grow big enough to warrant having, you know, salespeople involved or pursuing more sponsorship deals. We're certainly open to sponsorship deals and stuff, obviously anybody's listening, but, the idea of, having time to focus on that. Right now, we're just focusing on having fun, creating content, hopefully that's interesting to people, funny, interesting, you know, and just sort of exploring this medium on an ongoing basis and see where it takes us exactly, I guess. So
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty cool. I think because it's just, you know, they have their own network and people doing things. Like, and the Morning Show, I just want to list down, like, so the Morning Show used to be called Transmission, but now it's Morning Show. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then
I think for SEO and because it sort of describes more of what they're about.
Right. So. Yeah, and that's what, one of the weird things like I learned about VidCon was that people are really into morning shows now. Like they will upload their show at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning or whatnot, or every morning, so that when people get up, you know, they have a fresh show in the morning to start their day. And so so there's at least three YouTubers I know that do that. And so that I met at, or I've heard of at VidCon. Yeah. So it's just like, which goes back to like one, well, they actually do a really somewhat polished job, but they also like, you know, they record the shows, can't put them in cans. Like, and it's, you know, it's not like stuff that we're like, we're talking about this now and we want to push it out this episode as soon as we get it done. And so it's kind of more timely, but they'll do shows where they talk about science facts, which can be like in the can for weeks and nothing's going really happen. So it's like, you know, so, but yeah, so that's one thing I dislike about YouTube is I'm tired of science YouTube shows, you know. I'm just like, hey, another guy explaining minerals to me. I'm good to go, guys. You know, I can, like, one is fine, five got it covered. But if I need another
show. What kind of YouTube show is something that Christopher Schmidt would watch?
Oh, man. Talking After the Flash would be great. You know, that'd be great. No, I was joking. I'm just really into a lot of, great question, Chris. Love it. Love you that you turned the tables on me.
I feel like into interview role.
Oh, too. Yeah. Well, what about you, Chris? What do you want? Yes, that's the thing. Like, right, the tough nut to crack is make something interesting on YouTube. So, but yeah, it just has to be. I will tell you the same answer that everyone at VidCon said on how to make it be a great YouTube video star. All right, okay, get a piece of paper out. I'm ready to write this one down. Number one, be authentic. Just write that down. Okay, now you want to underline the authentic part twice. All right. And then number two is like, go back to number one and and just start all over from there. That's
just like 10x your authenticity.
Somehow. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, be authentic every time is like, was the answer. And I was like, okay, beyond that, how do we get a good story? You know, how we tell something that's captivating to users. I got nothing on that. So, but the authentic part, that's the stuff.
Which is kind of like, you know, going back to the podcasting waves, like there's definitely that. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to crash and it will someday, I'm sure, and something will take its place. But the YouTube thing is like, it is all these people who genuinely just started out talking about their life and like complaining about their hair and their whatever and their kids or stuff. And like, that was good enough back then. And so they built up a big enough audience. And there's like new people who've started since then, obviously, but the production value is sort of, the bar has been raised, right? And you can't get away with just like talking into your webcam about your life unless you have, I guess, super authenticity.
Unless you like are super rich or like, look at this or something like rich kids Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
But also I feel like you have Vine, right? Which is also like 7 seconds, I don't know, like 7 seconds or whatever that you have. So there's Vine stars. And so, this is my theory on Vine, how to be successful on Vine. Is that you think of a really almost like a dad joke, right? Like just something like a joke that dad just would say, like really kind of cheesy joke. And then you film that joke. And because dad joke is very simple, like, something really simple that dad would say, like, make you laugh, like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then you just film that for 7 seconds. And then you do 100 of them.
Yeah.
You're a Vine star. That's my theory. One day I'll do a Kickstarter and I'll just approve that for my scientific starter. So that's my YouTube series I'd watch.
There is some really, like, they are creative, crazily creative and talented. Mm-hmm. Some of the way the folks are just like shooting video for Vine. But yeah, it does feel a bit like the internet is starting to circle back around, right? Like some of the things we read about, like, can you believe that so-and-so did this with whatever? Yeah. And it's like, I remember linking to that onto my blog like 10 years ago, and now we're all like sharing it again because someone else rewrote that story, and then it'll get retold on 99% Invisible in the podcast form. It's like, did you hear about the way Austin's lights or whatever, or radio things or whatever? I can't remember what the story was.
Austin, the towers.
Yeah, the towers. It's like, I'm sure 10 years ago, Jason Cockey linked to that on some Wikipedia entry, and it was like, oh my goodness, and we all shared it, and now it's like, now we're hearing it in audio form. And
right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, oh man, yeah, 99% that kind of grates my nerves a little bit because it's like, it's talking about design stuff, right? It's like, it's almost like just talking about obvious, like design things that as a designer I take notice of, but I don't think about like, I should do a whole podcast about, you know, XYZ. Because I find that when I talk about it, like, and all the positive to them, I talk about it, I find it extremely boring, but
Have Roman Mars's intense voice.
Oh my gosh.
Where I got to start doing this on podcasts where I like say, and this is Christopher Schmidt. And then you say, I'm Christopher Schmidt.
That's Matt Andrews.
My name is Matt Andrews. I teach American history.
And then they repeat things for extra emphasis, which I find so cheesy to actually do. Like if I've ever, I've made a little attempts to record and edit and produce a more produced show, but I just feel so cheesy doing it. But like, I don't know how in the studio he can be like, and just like repeating the one word that the person before just said, you know, and it's like, okay, we all just heard it. I know you're just repeating it for effect and that it obviously works and I can't like knock you for doing that, but like, does no one else feel like odd that he just repeated that again?
So you heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Did you hear it? But I would do the NPR thing, which is like, this is what I think of NPR. Like, so someone says, is telling the story, right? And then they come to some conclusion or something happens and there's like a pregnant pause. But there's a pregnant pause for like, you know, just like this whole thing. And then music kicks in and then she picks up the story, keeps on going, like some sort of revelation. Like, and that's when I knew I was being stalked.
Slack podcast. They have a podcasting 101 on how to make a podcast, but it's all like mocking all the cliches that we've already established.
The first thing you want to focus on is how you sound. You don't want to sound like a reporter. You want to sound like a regular person. So use the word like a lot. And you want to take pauses. Pauses that feel like they may go on too long. Right about now, you're going to want to change the music. This is a different piece of music. It's not intrusive. It's atmospheric. You might even say it's generic.
Which again is like, it's such a, going back to podcasting, it's such a funny thing because this medium is relatively young.
Right.
It's not established. So all these things that are cliches right now, you know, will be gone in a year or two, I'm sure, replaced with something new or whatever. I think it'll move as fast as the web has.
Well, like that's what, like web design, like, so like web design is like, we spent like a decade to two decades borrowing a lot from print media. Right. And so, and now like,
Jen,
like her talk right now is about borrowing because CSS is so advanced now. And we have all this, browsers now that can do it. They handle a lot of things that why aren't we doing cool layouts like we could do in print. And, which is cool, which is weird because like we're cycling back to, we should not be tied down and chained by print media or TV media, you know, what we do. And so we've grown up, you know, we've gotten that, and then we've also had to deal with mobile devices now, like, so we're kind of free from, you know, whatever print could do because it's a fixed media. And now we're like, we should be inspired by print design again. I'm like, holy cow, seriously, we just spent forever trying to get away from them. So it's a great talk in terms of like learning how to do cool things with CSS, but
In podcasting, it seems like we almost like you and I should go seek out like the 60 or 70, 80 year old person who used to do radio dramas back in the 40s to like audiences of thousands and just hire them to like produce the podcast now. And they'd be like, so I can just like sit here, hit a button and it just goes out to the world instantly. I don't have to worry about radio frequencies and making sure they tune in at the right time.
You know, right,
that kind of angle on stuff that was all so hard back then because we can just produce that kind of stuff now.
Yeah, I mean,
interesting.
Yeah, I actually like one of my, it's so boring like it's for me to say this, I love, but like I love listening to old radio dramas and listening to how they do things. And a lot of them, you know, 50s, 60s era, like they're so cliche, they're so stereotypical and sometimes racist, but it's, you know, but for them listening to how they could do sound effects and do, of course, like, and the actors who are working professionals, like there's this job is like to be a voice actor, not like for like a Panda 3, Kung Fu Panda 3 or whatever. But yeah, just be serious about coming up. And like today, I get to play a murderer on the radio, you know, detective show today. So I think that's pretty, pretty cool that they, you know, could do that. And so it's, you know, do you, and to find people who do that, you know, professionally, like, you know, radio dramas, like that's one of the things I like about the podcast, Fireside Theater, you know, that was really not the Firestone, not them, but the Firestone Theater is an old comedy troupe, but the Thrilling Adventure Hour, that's the one.
Okay.
Thrilling Adventure Hour. That was a great podcast because they would make fun of old time radio, but they would put like kind of their unique, you know, comedy spin on things. So they had like an old Western radio sketch that they would do. They would do a future sci-fi show that's based off of 50s sci-fi, and
right, yeah.
They do a spoof on superheroes. So yeah, it was a really great show, and but they've been doing it for 10 years, and they wanted to move on to other things too. So, yeah. But every month they would come out with a new show. So, so there's people who do it in a way, like podcast is different than radio though. So, but it's still a lot of ties to it. So, so there's a lot of things you can learn from it. So, but I'm not sure in what ways podcasting can be different other than you know, instead of needing a team of engineers and producers to do a 60s radio drama, you can just get a MacBook Pro and do it yourself. So I don't know.
Well, and there's people out there, like I feel bad in a way for people who are trying to get into podcasting now that who think like 99% Invisible or Serial or whatever is like, that's the bar. Uh-huh. But there is people like Aaron Mankey, who does the Lore podcast, is like just one guy, one dude who writes, records, edits, produces this show that's like ranking right up there in alongside some of those other popular shows, and you know, doing really well and getting lots of, you know, support. He has the Patreon thing and stuff like that, and basically it's his full-time job now is this one podcast that he started doing, and he just started it maybe 2 years ago, but you know, a year-ish kind of thing. And so it certainly is possible to do it and do it in an interesting way that's unique. And obviously there's just all the like factors of luck and having a good voice and having parents who buy you some gear or whatever the case may be, you know, besides just the hard work of actually doing it, plus authenticity. You have to
be authentic. Number one, authenticity. But then number two is actually just staying with it. I think that's because it's like, you know, talking to Chris Corey, he'll be the first one to tell you that like his success with CSS Tricks wasn't overnight. It was steady working it over years, many years getting working. So,
and that's what I think I've been struggling with. That's interesting you bring up Chris, because I remember I was thinking about him starting out, you know, way back when. I didn't know him then. I read CSS Tricks and stuff and sort of followed him on the various things as he's kind of grew. But what it was interesting to me for him, and what other people could maybe take away from his story, is like he basically journaled his learning process on CSS Tricks. And like, I was thinking about that with podcasting. Like, I don't do that. I just like, you know, I keep it in myself. I find articles, I figure out how to do something, but then I just like, just let it sit there. And there's some people who are afraid to like give that information away. Somehow it's going to like reveal your secrets or whatever. And that's what was great again about what Chris did, is like, here's everything I'm learning, and maybe I'm going to screw up. Like, I remember watching screencasts of his. It was like, oh crap, I forgot to, like, trying to figure out MySQL or something at the time. And like,
Yeah. And that's something really important. Like, it's like we have this, Ari, like, you know, explained to me, but it's been around forever, but just like abundance mentality, that there's, if you have an ability to think that there's always enough for everyone, then you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, trying to store your knowledge.
Right.
And then also our industry is kind of weird that, you know, people can copy things pretty easily, like, you know, just copy paste and view source. Yeah. So it's pretty easy for people to learn how to deconstruct things. And so so back in the beginning, when people were just trying to learn what web design was, you know, we actually like shared a lot of things. There were one that made web designers, you know, as there is now. But but I think sharing the knowledge, sharing the idea is a lot better than keeping it to yourself, which is, and because it, one, it proves that you know what you're doing. Two, like, teaching someone, running it down, teaches you how to say that you've learned what you've mastered. And three, you're actually helping someone to do it. And so, and Sarah Dresner actually talks about, like, I think it was Sarah, could have been Brenda, but she talked about how, like, how do you teach 10, the power of 10, you know, it's like to teach people 10 times, teach 10 people how you did it. You just created like 10 engineers, you know? So
yeah,
I pretty much butchered that. I'm sorry.
So I think it's like, if you teach a person to podcast, you've taught them how to go fishing or something. Sort of analogy like that. I don't know how it works.
All right.
Yeah.
I have hopes. I think, you know, What was that link that Apple, like, is something we can say or not, but like Apple has a link to like connect.apple or whatever that was.
Yeah, they're doing a new, like, sort of their, what they have for app developers and stuff for podcast producers, I think is what they're,
okay,
a new portal basically. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's, it looks similar to how they do ebooks and whatnot. Right. And so I was, I tried to publish an ebook through them. It was really, really disconcerting. So I don't know.
It feels like with YouTube, like the podcasting and YouTube crossover stuff is like people say you go on YouTube and put your stuff on YouTube, and you hear like back from anybody who you ask about watching it, they're like, "Oh, I never have time to watch it. Like, why would?" And so, why don't you just have the audio? Because I can listen to the audio wherever I want. Don't put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we? Can't win. I'm just going to fax everybody a copy of the transcript.
Oh, yeah. If you could fax it, that'd be great. If you could photocopy that too, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll send it to your TBS reports.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. I never understood fax machines. That's one thing. That's one technology I've not really, like, my accountant has finally gotten off the fax machine kick, which is, I think, a big win. But now I have to go through like 15 steps for my security. My email document, I have to go through like 15 steps, which is not how we actually solve a lot of problems in my book.
I have like two-factor authentication to get my video onto Twitch, but anybody can just get into my bank account if they know my cat's first name and my last initials or whatever.
It's Mousy Pants. Yeah. That's what it was. I don't know. But Mousy Pan, that's what it is. So I don't know. Like, where should we, where do you think podcasts is going in the future? Which is a total question, a hypothetical question, and I set you up for failure on that one. But
remember when Chris said this?
Yeah.
I think it's still going to keep growing. Like I said, I think there's still lots of opportunity and market for people to new listeners, basically, for shows. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, like, the sort of whatever you want to call us, like, say, Good Stuff, mm-hmm, and that kind of thing is going to land in the future. Like, there will always be space for people just creating your own stuff, because you can, as long as the web is open or relatively open, you can, put your own stuff out there. And so just a matter of, I would guess some player of some sort, like whether like YouTube with video, is going to rise up and be sort of the dominant place you need to be at some point, whether that's Google Play or whether it's iTunes and they do something, some sort of revamp or whatever. But and I think it'll settle down again for a while, I'm sure. And then something crazy will happen with some person doing some sort of podcast about something.
All right, Chris, I'll put you down on this day. You said something will happen.
Something is going to happen. Trying to be ambiguous.
Should be like that to stone so that we don't forget that something's going to happen, and then come back 10 years from now.
Yeah, we'll see. Put it in a time capsule.
I always attribute that to you being a Canadian. I'm sorry to say it, but like, you're so nice. Like, something's going to happen and it's going to be really bad. So I'm not sure.
It goes against, that's like Sue, my wife, listens to my personal podcast that I do. Yeah. And she's like, why don't you just like share your opinions more? So it's a Canadian thing, but also me, like, feeling, going back to when I started podcasting, of like being nervous that the wrong person's going to listen, or I'm going to offend somebody somehow by admitting that I don't know, whatever. So the fact that there's, I was going to say, the fact that there's shows like on Gimlet, I just listened to a show called Sampler, where they're just like basically repeating other podcasts and letting you know about, I just triggered Siri on my end. the fact that they're just like playing highlights from other podcasts. And same thing here in Canada and CBC. There's a, there's a show where they highlight other podcasts, basically.
Oh, it's a sampler pack, right? It's like a sampler, like,
And they're just like, they'll play like an episode of a show.
Yeah,
it's been whatever. And so, like, we're at that point already. And there's like, even the folks who are behind Slack's podcast. They're actually a Canadian production company.
Yeah,
and you can send in your audio stories to them for, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever, and if they in a show. So like, it's definitely like there's the marketplace now for audio that was there before, right? And so theoretically, as I found out too, there is, you know, room for people to do interesting things and make interesting careers out of being involved in podcasting. So it's fun. It's exciting, I think.
Yeah. It's a podcast digest, right? So it's like a Reader's Digest for podcasting. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. No. Okay. Take the best bits and put them into one stream. Pretty awesome. So we talked about it here, but we haven't talked about it yet, but we talked a little bit about Twitch, which is a gaming, I guess it's a video gaming service, right?
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And so a game that we've talked about that came out last week. I guess it came out last week.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Firewatch.
Yeah.
By the people who make Panic Software, and they have a new, the Campo Santo. We talk about that. We'll talk about it for a little bit. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it later on in a different show. It's just it's a first time game. It's for mature players, and not talking about age, but also talking about emotional maturity, which is, I'm not sure how I got to play with it, but it's also like, it's just a great, you know, it's about a story of a guy in a relationship, and complications happen, and so he gets a job for summer in the mountains as a fire watch, and his only form of contact is with someone else who's a fire watch, his boss, and she's on a different station, and they never meet, but it's only through this radio contact, this whole show, and things happen, and the whole, like, mysteries happen, and so...
That storm knocked out the phone line I used to talk to the service, which means we're cut off.
I'll see what I can do.
You think you'll take to it? Being out here? The isolation gets to people.
It's definitely gotten... It's been interesting to watch just from in the tech circles as this company, like you said, Panic, developed in conjunction with Campo Santo, I think is the name.
Yeah.
This game.
Yeah.
So Panic doesn't normally make games, obviously, but they're known for, like, sort of interesting, well-crafted...
Yeah, so they make FTP Transmit.
Yeah,
and Coda. Where they do Coda with.
Yeah, I use Coda all the time.
And I love their status bar board app.
Yeah.
Because I use it for monitoring stuff at E4H.
Right.
So you knew
like it was going to be a well-done piece of software.
Well, I knew they had, I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Ollie Moss is the designer.
Yeah.
On board, and he does some great, fantastic artwork. He's probably well known for the Star Wars posters that came out 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Oh, right.
That had like kind of like the, if you think of it, True Detective?
Yeah.
HBO, kind of like that whole like fade-in photograph of like, I don't know, I forget what the style is, but like in the faces, there's a landscapes inside the faces and some of that too. So he had that type of effect on the Star Wars posters for... Yeah, like one for Star Wars, New Hope, one for Return of the Jedi, and Empire Strikes Back. And so he has a very unique style, and so they hired him to do it. So he's a great talent, so having him on board was awesome.
Yeah,
to do it. So you know it's going to look good. It actually does look great, because you actually walk around. It's a walker type game.
Yeah.
And they have a camera, and you actually take photos of how beautiful everything looks. You know, and you actually have them printed and sent to your house.
Yeah.
So, pretty crazy. They can do that, but
it's interesting though, like in the particularly in the sort of the Apple world, like which is where Panic Software lives, to see how people respond to a game that I can tell, like even some people don't normally play games, so they're trying this out because they know, you know, Vicarious or via Panic Software that they like, so they'll try this game out, which and I'm just always curious to see how they all react and what their sort of review is, because you know, I don't know how you played, but like sometimes when I was playing it, I'd get like stuck on a spot, or you're like, am I just going to run around for a while? Like, what am I supposed to do here or whatever? Or like a glitch in the game, a small glitch, and you're like stuck on a rock and you can't move. And it's obviously like just a software bug or whatever. Right. And I was able to, you know, sort of get myself free or whatever. But Panic traditionally has really good positive reviews from most Apple nerds anyways.
Right.
So would they feel obligated to like sort of give them great reviews on this game just by virtue of them developing this other stuff and sort of wanting them to do well? But also like on places like Steam and IGN and other like video game places, they have like a really like a 9 out of 10 or 9.5 out of 10 rating and review for this game. So it's obviously universally kind of accepted as being a good game by games.
Yeah, right? I'm not really a traditional gamer either. So it's a very unique game inside. I really want more, you know, and I don't think I want more, which I think sort of proves me like I don't want more in terms of it being a negative, like in terms of like I wish, which there was some bits like I wish there was more in the story. I wish there was more of that. But I felt like I wanted more because I wanted to hear the stories that were being told, you know, the characters in the game. And that made me, one, sad, but made me, two, realize I'm sad for fictional people. But two, you know, which is like, you know, like a really great work of fiction, right? Like,
yeah, oh, totally.
I'm really like, hey, these people, these characters are going to stick with me from now on, you know, because we're talking about them, these people as they actually existed, right? So,
yeah.
And they came to life with, you know, voice acting. We talk about voice acting in podcasts usually, but there's two great voice actors in this game. So it was really great to have that. So I feel like that's, I think they accomplished a really great game in terms of that. You look at it in terms of that way. In terms of, and I felt like, you know, to get into the game was kind of long, but it was like kind of like you choose your own answers to choose how you. But I always felt like, you know, it was kind of a cheat because I felt like no matter what questions I asked, answered, how they answered in the beginning, I'm still going to get, it's like a ride at Walt Disney. No matter what I choose, I still, like, that boat still has to go through the same path.
Yeah.
Through that ride, right? So I was like, no matter what I choose, I'm like, I'm going to be a Sith Lord. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, still have to get to the game. So it's you know, I felt like, but having said that, there was like some moments with the first day that you're there that, that freak you out. Like you come across people that are skinny dipping, and then you come across this guy with a flashlight in your face as a storm is coming on, which is crazy, right? So that, like, I wanted those things where, like, I'm being stalked, I'm stalking people unintentionally, like, oh my gosh. I wanted more of that, whatever that was, I wanted more of that, like, three or four more times in the game. And I never really felt like, I felt like I was, like, alone in the wilderness sometimes. I thought that was kind of crazy, but I felt like, which is, you know, which I'm playing a game in my, you know, whatever. But I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm scared to death. But, so that's my only complaint, like, my main complaint. I wish I was more like, I'm not crazy. I just see something happening, and I'm like, something crazy is going on. And it's like, and also I felt like sometimes the person I was talking to, the other end, the communicator, she was not really like, you know, considerate or whatever. Like she, it's like, oh, well, you ran into someone. Like, no, someone, there's a thunderstorm coming. Some guy made a point, like, very clear that he was looking for me.
Yeah.
And then went away as a storm was approaching. And then the person on the other, like, she's like, oh, whatever, dude.
Yeah, head back to your watch. It's like, there's no door that locks on there. I'm not going back there. Why would I go back and there's some stranger out here?
Yeah, it's some bear could go up the stairs. It was like, yeah, whatever.
I know. So I feel like the first half, I think, with at the risk of, like, if you haven't played the game, obviously, I think stop listening. Like, we're not going to spoil it, but you'll spoil it playing it for you anyways. Is like the first half, it feels like, was really intense, and they kind of had to rush the ending maybe. And I could see it happening in a creative, you know, where you're just like, we've already spent 2 years on this. We had the first half of the story really intense, and then our second album, the second half, was kind of like, oh crap, we have to put out something now. Like, let's finish this. And I don't doubt that the level of intensity that they had, like, it took them 2 years, I think, at least to make the game.
Yeah.
And the level of care and intensity they put into it, I don't doubt is awesome. Yeah. I don't agree with, there's, you know, articles of like, well, should people get a refund because it only took them 2 hours to play the game or whatever.
And
like,
yeah.
Well, no, you don't, like, it's not about the time. It's the experience that you're getting out of this game. And I think I definitely got my money's worth in terms of what I was expecting. But I agree that it's a bit of like, wow, it's this crazy open world. But then you very quickly realize, obviously, they can't just like let you go anywhere because they do have to sort of move the story along.
Right.
And there's a few moments where you're like, okay, I didn't even get to hear what she was about to say because I triggered this other event by moving, you know, 10 feet ahead. And so now I don't know, was that supposed to be important or was it just like, so it kind of lets, then everything kind of becomes, I'll just, as long as I move the story ahead, it doesn't matter which way I choose, kind of like what you said. And I don't know. I think it was like an intense premise. I don't know when you played it or whatever, but I was like, 11 o'clock at night or whatever, my family was gone for the weekend and I turned it on. I was like, I'll try it and see how this goes. Yeah. And like, oh crap. I'm like, this is really sad and really intense and kind of like, not at all. I was expecting more like, almost lost kind of like, just like weird stuff, not like deep personal, emotional kind of level stuff to start it off. But I'm curious to go try it again, like play it through again at some point and just try out some different things and see if there isn't at least a little bit of a difference. Like, you would think if they ask you that stuff, why are they doing that if not to at least have some influence over the game? But maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, the conversations are a little different, but the endpoints are still the same. And so I think that's where repeat gameplay for me is like, testing the boundaries to see how far you can get with like see how far you can go away and then
evil or good.
And then seeing how like they have to like cram you back into a fixed point and like yeah. So like, you know.
And that's where I do agree with some folks who say like, you know, $20 for this game when I could pay whatever, like $10 for, you know, the new Sim City and like definitely get more than 2 hours worth of gameplay out of it. I sympathize with that. Like it's, you know, I don't have endless money to spend on games and it is a point of concern, but you know, at this point you can have a pretty good idea of what you're getting when you're going into it. So
yeah, it's like paying $10 for, it's like comic book versus $20 for a really good piece of fiction work. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
like four both, books.
Yeah. Both took time to make, you know?
Yeah.
But one's got to actually like be more emotionally investing. So it's from a guy who likes comic books. So don't worry. So I don't want to hear people like, comic books are graphic novels. I'm like, yes, I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's how my audience sounds like, by the way. That's what I think about when. So, just kidding. It's like, that's how I sound like when I'm yelling at myself. But yeah. So yeah, cool. But I'm hoping to talk to the guys or like someone at least from Campo Santo later on. So in a future episode, so I'm not going to wait that happens. So, so I'll have you back. So we can talk about that with them. So because I'm just interested because like you know I'm interested in how they. Were a app developer and they decided, hey, let's make a game. And then the type of game they did up making, like, was that, no, what type of choice? That had to be an obvious choice, I think, at some point, or maybe it wasn't like, an obvious choice to make an emotionally charged game like that. So a mature game, not charged, but emotionally mature game. So that's kind of interesting. So cool. Awesome. Is there anything I should have asked you, Chris, before we start wrapping up things up?
No, I don't think.
Where is the body buried? That's why I should have been asking. Where is the body buried? Where did you put the bodies?
At the top of the cave.
Oh my gosh! I mean, spoiler alert. Jeez. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Chris.
What's kind of funny about it is like it's not, you're not, you know, usually in games it's often like a spoiler is like revealing how you get past a certain point or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, that's again, like you are fairly on a track.
Right.
So the spoiler is more like a movie or a book where you're like, did you know that so-and-so is whatever? And like, you know, and it's just kind of funny with games to be like in Minecraft, right? There's no like end thing that you're like going to reveal to somebody, but you could reveal like, you know, how to make this cool little thing and prevent someone from figuring that out on themselves or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like a movie. Like you don't want to give away the spoiler at the end. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, Kaiser Sose, who's that? Right? I don't know. Okay, so anyway, I just like people don't know by now. But thank you so much for producing the show, and being our producer for the show. So it's been awesome doing that. So I appreciate that so much that you do that and do it very well.
I'll edit this part out.
Yeah, please do. I don't want to get like mushy about it.
So. Christopher started crying, and I had to edit 10 minutes of sobbing.
I mean, he did a great job of sobbing. Let me tell you that much about this. But yeah. How can people find you on the internet?
You know what? You can, iChris is my Twitter account. And if you, I'm terrible at promoting myself. So I'll go out of my shell here a bit and say podcastproduction.pro is where you can visit to see if you want some help with your podcasts.
Okay, cool. That's so great. So thanks for being here today. It was great.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks for. It's all shows, AKD.
If somebody, this is what I always wonder when I edit the show, and it gets to the end. If somebody was listening this long, and they wanted to go like follow you on Twitter, what do they do?
I don't know, man. I don't know. They're still listening by this time. I have enough of my that's for sure. But you can follow me on Twitter at Telject, TELEJECT.
Oh, cool.
That's where I'm at. I try to make witty comments that have nothing to do with web design. And I usually succeed at not talking about web design, but the witty comments I fail at. So it's 50-50, really.
You hit some out of the park. I wouldn't say you're a complete failure.
No. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
I've thrown a few stars.
I'm not a complete failure, but most of the time.
Yeah.
Complete failure, but not all the time.
Oh, I have to go. I have supper with Joe Montana.
Okay.
For real. I just realized the time we've been talking for a while.
I'm going to go see Apple Supper with Joe Batania. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, Matt. Well, thank you so much. And please tell me how your supper with Joe Batania went.
Right, Montana. Cool.
Montana. Joe Batania's. Okay. Okay. Talk to you later, man. Bye.
Yeah. See ya.
And then I'm going to go look at your new thing we're doing. We're going to take a look at your Twitter account right now.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
And see what you're looking, what kind of tweets you have. Let's see. You have a tweet, billable time, and you have a screenshot of Macho Man theme music. What's that about? What were we thinking?
That's a good segue into some of my portfolio work. I don't know if Chris Coy or Dave Rupert listen, but I was researching because Dave often does a... I can't tell if it's a Macho Man or a Hulkamania impression that he's doing. Some sort of callback to wrestling anyways. I don't know. I think it's a melding of the two. Okay. So I was debating how legal it would be to insert a bit of Macho Man's theme music in the midst of a Shop Talk show. So
okay.
There you go.
Okay, cool. All right.
That brings up the idea, though. The Macho Man thing was like... a podcast about which part of your childhood has died this week is a new show I'm thinking, where you just look up on the internet and see, okay, who died that was alive and doing interesting things 20 years ago or whatever, and just like reminisce. Because the sidebar of my YouTube page right now, because of that search, is like all these, you know, wrestlers and various people from that era who've all died, their memorial videos or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it'd be sad, though.
Okay, and then you have on your, you have a screenshot with this Farmer City. So you have like, is it Steam? You can buy City Skylines, our farming simulator. Yeah. 2015. Yeah.
You said you're not too much of a gamer. I'm like a deep, that's what got me into building my own computer and got me into computers was like playing games. And so at my core is like, I love playing video games. I have three kids who aren't at the old enough age to buy them their own video games yet. And get into it as hardcore as I am. So probably in 10 years time, if you ask where I'll be, I'll just be like, hold up in the basement with my kids playing video games or something. But it was kind of funny getting a notification from Steam that these two games, either the Farming Simulator or Cities Simulator, are on sale. And which one do you want? And so I haven't picked either yet. You can let me know on Twitter which one I should go with if you'd like.
It is a Sophie's choice. that's so bad. Okay. Let's see what we got. We got 3 days ago. Plot twist. No vehicle, so that eliminates the movie. Also, slow movie going. I've done that, but I have no idea what that's in reference to. Plans. you mean plans. That's new plans. I don't know. It sounds like a east.
Well, that was when my family's gone, and I was debating going to a movie by myself. I didn't have a vehicle. And I think I did a Twitter poll, but none of the third-party Twitter apps actually see that. So it looks really silly to those folks. And
I was
Deadpool. Actually, Star Wars is what I wanted to go see again, but then Deadpool had such a huge response that I felt like I should go see that too. But I ended up doing nothing because that's easier.
so you split the difference and did nothing.
Okay. Yeah,
that's great. That seems
cold
like
outside, Chris. Don't you know it's cold? And
it is a cold 39 degrees where I'm at right now. So that's man. I can put a jacket on. This last one we do, we'll put you on the spot one last time. Okay, what if I accidentally turned on my webcam and people were watching me singing along to the Beatles and Ed Sheeran all afternoon? My brain. Hashtag my brain. And Adele. Can't forget about Adele. It's your follow-up, your subtweet there. So there you go.
I think that's because that morning I'd spent investigating and messing around with stuff like OBS streaming out. And I was like, I could totally see myself doing that, like leaving the stream on from playing Minecraft and then like dealing with a client on the phone and then like playing along to like, that day I was jamming along to some music or whatever, to like stress or whatever. And totally could see myself leaving that on by accident and having, that would be the one time somebody would actually tune in to a live stream that I'm doing.
All right. Cool. All right. It's a potpourri life. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Lots of things going on. Cool. That's awesome.
Tens of annoying tweets if you follow me on Twitter. To say the
tens
least.
Of annoying. All right. Sorry if I put you on the spot there. So it's iChris on Twitter's. Cool.